Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith..." Anybody know who it is that's of faith? Well, that's us, right? Come on now. "They which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Hallelujah. Yeah, I mean, we ought to just shout right there. Remember the blessing of Abraham over there in Genesis chapter 12? "I'm going to bless you, make you a great and mighty nation. I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you." Come on. "I'll raise you up above all that." That's all ours, church. Because we're the children of faith, praise God. He goes on and he says, "For as many as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the Lord Jesus Christ became a curse for us. He took upon Himself everything that you and I deserved. Come on. He paid the price for it all. Everything that Adam lost there in the garden, the Lord Jesus Christ got back when He went to the cross for you and I. Mankind's standing with God, mankind standing as an authority upon this earth, was bought back through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now jump down here to 22 with me real quickly. It says, "But the Scripture have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." So He says, you know, we're all guilty, but all we had to do was believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He goes on and says, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." And listen to this. "And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Hallelujah. Now you study that out and you'll find out that the Bible says the promise wasn't to many. The promise was to one. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. God, through Abraham, promised the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham's seed would be Jesus. The promise was to Jesus. But because we're in Jesus now, it's ours. Hallelujah. Because we've made Jesus Christ our Lord, it gave us legal entrance into the blessings of God, into the kingdom of God. So now we're blessed with faithful Abraham. Okay? The Bible plainly says that you and I have been redeemed from the curse. The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law so that we could have the blessings of Abraham. Amen. So we need to understand that you and I are blessed with faithful Abraham. I don't care if you don't feel blessed or not, you're still blessed. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're blessed. See, the Bible teaches us over in the Old Testament, we're blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, right? Come on, we're blessed in every way because God wants us blessed. Amen. See, so many folks don't understand that the blessing of the Lord upon your life changes you. You're not like everybody else. Come on. A blessed child of God is not like a child of the world. Now, You know, they're good people in the world. There's no doubt about that. We came out of the world. We're pretty good people. Maybe we've done some things that weren't pretty good, but we still had a pretty good heart. But here's the thing. It's not about being a good person. It's about being in Christ. You see, there's good people in the world, but when you get in Christ, then you become that extra. You become the blessed. Now, I'm no longer operating in the kingdom of the world. I'm operating over in the kingdom of God now. So we become blessed because we are in Christ. And we have become Abraham's seed and received the blessing of Abraham's seed, which is Christ. Come on. See, so when we start seeing that, go with me over here a second, Peter. Now, these are familiar. I use them a lot, but I use them because we need to get a hold of what Peter's saying here to us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Notice that grace and peace can be multiplied through knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and God. Come on. The more knowledge you have of God, the more grace and peace you're going to have in your life. Do you understand that? Amen. You have peace in times when everybody else is going crazy. You have peace in times when everybody else is worrying. You have peace in times when people are shaking and trembling and thinking, "Oh, what am I going to do?" You have peace when you get a bad report.
Yeah.
Come on, you have peace when it don't look like you're going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a peace that passes all understanding. Well, how can we have peace like that? Because Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you." Not the kind of the peace the world gives, but "My peace I give to you." Notice that now. Let's read on just a little bit further. He says, it's through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us. Again, it's already been given to us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be, listen to this, partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Notice, you have been given freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been made partakers of His divine natures. You see, now, here's the thing. He has made you free and given you all these things. He has set you free from the world and made you a partaker of His divine nature. But here's the thing. Even though you've been made free, been given His divine nature, you have to still choose to be free. Come on now. See, after you've been in captivity for a while, and you receive your freedom, you've got to learn how to walk in that freedom again. We were in the world a long time. And we acted like the world, we talked like the world, we thought like the world. But now we've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been given the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us, so we're in Christ. And now we've been given His divine nature. So we have to understand that we are free to operate in that nature. Come on now. We're no longer under the bondage of the devil. We're no longer confined to the world and the world system. Come on. We like circuses. We like zoos. We like those kind of things. And they tell me now, and I've seen it happen with other animals, but they tell me the elephants that they have there, that they use in the circuses and stuff. That, you know, if you look, a lot of times there's a metal band around one of their legs and they're chained up. And they tell me that after a while, they don't even got to put the band on the elephant's leg anymore. And the reason is because the elephant in his mind thinks that he's bound. He thinks he's still chained. He thinks he's not free. And you see, that's exactly what the world wants us to do. That's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to think that we're still chained to the world. That we're still chained to His kingdom. But the truth is, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He went to the cross for us and paid the price for us, He broke the chain. We're loosed. We're free. We've been given His divine nature, so we no longer operate like we're in the world. We've been set free, but we've got to know it, and we've got to act like it. See, we can't, if we keep, listen, a lot of folks can believe and they think, well, you know, yeah, I mean, I've been set free from sin. I've been born again. I'm no longer a sinner. You know, but they still have that mentality because you ask them and they'll say, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Come on. See that they're still bound to that sin because they're still calling themselves an old sinner. My Bible tells me that if any man be in Christ, He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm no longer an old sinner. I was a sinner at one time, but now I am a child of God, redeemed by the blood of God, an heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ, and I have been given the nature of God. Hallelujah. His divine nature. Now that's hard for religious folks to get a hold of. Because, see, they want to act like they're religious. But I'm going to tell you something. Religion ain't worth a dime. You have to be free in Christ. Come on. You have to know, I've been set free. I'm no longer bound to this world. And the world system has not got a hold on me. There, I realize we still live in this world, but we are not of this world. You understand that? You have been set free from the principles of this world, and now you're to operate in the principles of the kingdom of God. It's hard for us to grasp that, but you see, what happens is you've got to change your thinking. You've got to change the way you think about things. You see, but you can't see things like the world sees things. Amen. You have to have that divine thinking because you've been given that divine nature. Let's just use healing, okay, for one of those things. I just thought about things that, as I studied this out, I thought about, you know, healing is the thing that people struggle with so much. They have no problem with believing that God can forgive sins. Now, come on, think about this for just a minute now. They can believe there is a God. They can believe that He had a Son, Jesus Christ. They can believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross, went to the grave. He actually went to hell. Study it out. He descended before He ascended. Come on now. Peter preaches it out pretty good in the book of Acts there and tells us that I will not leave my soul and not see corruption. You won't leave my soul in hell. Come on. He talks about it and he says, he's not talking about David now. He's talking about Christ. Study it out. But He went there. They can believe that He went. They believe at least He went to the grave. And on the third day, He rose again. And because He did that, if they believe that, their sins will be forgiven them. And they can go to heaven. They can believe all that without seeing a thing. But when you tell them that same God that forgave their sins also was striped for their healing, now all of a sudden you've got a problem. When you start telling them that God wants you living in divine health, now we've got a problem. Well, I'll tell you what, everybody gets... See, when you start thinking everybody gets sick, and when you start... That's all thoughts of the world. That's part of the world system. Now, there's nobody denying that. We're not going to lie and say things that don't happen. But here's the thing. Once the Lord Jesus Christ was striped for our healing... Come on now. Once He was striped for our healing and paid the price for our healing on the cross, because see, on the cross, not only did the Lord Jesus Christ buy our salvation, being saved, get rid of our sins, but He also bore our infirmities, our sicknesses and our diseases. He also bore our poverty. He was made poor so that you could become rich. And see, when we start looking at these things, people just freak out. I mean, religious folk, they just can't grasp that because, see, their thinking is still worldly thinking instead of godly thinking. Their thinking is not in the divine nature, but in the natural nature. And if you look at the natural, I know things happen and I know things come upon us, but it doesn't have a right to. Legally, it doesn't have a right to, but how many knows the devil don't operate in the legal realm? He's a liar and the father of lies. He's always coming against the children of God because he hates us. And so he's trying to bring his things that are in his kingdom over on us. Amen. So we have to learn, if we're going to be free from that, we've got to start thinking, we've got to start getting into the Word, we've got to start getting ourselves to the place to where we have His divine nature and we're partaking in it. We've got to free ourselves from the world's way of thinking. Now, faith calls those things that be not as though they were. How many knows that's not the way the world operates? Well, I'll tell you what, brother, now, if I can't see it, I don't believe it. And that's why they have such a hard time with healing. See, because here's the thing about faith. Faith believes before it ever receives. Faith believes before it ever receives. Right? Jesus said, when you're praying, believe that you receive and you'll have it. When have I got to believe? While I'm praying. Not waiting. Well, I got the manifestation. I believe it now. That's not faith now. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. And you see, that's why sometimes I believe that the church and believers struggle with healing is because the healing thing, see, the salvation thing is totally out of their hands. Right? There's nothing, I mean, it's already been done. All they got to do is just believe. Now, when it comes to healing, here's what people will say. Well, I believe God can. I believe God can heal. You see, that's still tying it to the world. And they're also trying to put it over on just, you know, well, you know, if it's the Lord's will. Okay? But you see, faith says, not only do I believe that God can, I believe that He wants to and that He will. I can prove it to you from Scripture. Right? How many knows that the Word of God is the will of God? A leper came to the Lord Jesus one day, and here's what he said. Jesus had been over in the synagogue, and there's a leper that comes to him, and he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst heal me. You know what he just said? He just said, if it's your will, I believe that you can heal. Well, see, that's what religion says. Okay? Religion says that all the time. Well, I believe God can if He wants to. Right?
Yeah.
If it's His will, Lord, I believe that, brother, if it's His will. And they'll pray that. That's the way they won't be prayed over. I don't pray that way.
No.
Because real quickly, the Lord Jesus corrected. He said, if thou wilt, thou can heal me. And Jesus said, I will. Be thou healed. Come on. You see, the Lord Jesus' will is for you and I to be healed and walk in divine health. It's hard to have the divine nature of God and be sick because God ain't sick. God ain't broke. Come on, somebody. You see, and we want to walk around and say we're children of God, but in the kingdom of God, there isn't any poverty and there isn't any sickness. That's coming from the world. Whatever steals, kills, and destroys coming at us is from the world, not from Jesus. Jesus said, I want you to have life and have abundant life, right? Abundant life is not being sick. It's not feeling bad. Come on. It's not being broke. Now, here's the thing. Now, let me take this just a step here. We have to be careful in all these areas, though, when we talk about having His divine nature, we have to, if we're going to walk in freedom with His divine nature, and I'm going to get us all here now, okay? When it comes to the area of healing, we have to make sure that we're using divine thinking in that area. I'm as guilty as a dog. Because if we want to walk in divine health and have the healing of God operating in our bodies the way He wants us to have it operating in our bodies, then that means we have to think the way He would think toward our bodies. That means I got to put down donuts and cakes and candy and come on. Right? You got to put down some things. See, y'all got real quiet real quick. See, here, I mean, you know, and we real quickly, we'll jump on somebody that smokes. Y'all put them old things down, them will kill you. You know them things will give you cancer. Well, you know, when we keep on eating things that go against our body, we're no different than the person that's smoking cigarettes when they've got cancer. Lung cancer. See? So when we talk about walking in the divine nature, that means the renewed mind that we have renews ourselves to the place where we realize, wait a minute, I don't own this body anymore. Come on, we've been shouting because we've been redeemed. We've been shouting because we're in Christ. We've been shouting because we have His divine nature. But here's the thing. We gave ourselves up so we could have that. What? Know ye not that you're not your own? You've been bought with a price. Jesus Christ paid the price. And He goes on and says, glorify God in your body and your soul and your mind, which all belong to God. It all belongs to God. So if when it comes to walking in those things, and see, this is what religious folks don't like. Well, I'll just tell you, when God gave it to you, He gave it all. Well, they don't believe in healing anyway. But if we really want to walk in the divine health or divine healing, then that means we need to chasten ourselves and judge ourselves even in the things that we eat. Don't get mad at me. I like to eat better than any of you. I'm preaching to me right now, but I'm just telling you that we have to do what we should be doing, and God will do what He's going to do. Because it is God's will for us to be in health. But you know, I mean, it's just, if you're like that person that's always constantly going against the Word of God. You know, they say they're born again, but you see them out in the world doing everything that they shouldn't do, and you scratch your head and say, well, they said they was a Christian. Why are they going against the things of God? Well, see, you know, when we turn around and say we're the healed of God, and we keep doing the things that are against healing, then we have to check ourselves and say, wait a minute, hold. I got to make some corrections here. I need to repent and say, God, this is your body. This is your temple, the Holy Ghost. And I've been abusing it. Come on now. I'm trying to get us free here. Because if we understand and know these things, remember, all the gifts that have been given to us is through the knowledge of Him. And knowing the things that we ought to do. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's going to go do that. But I'm just trying to help us to get into the line more with our divine healing because we have the divine nature of God. Come on. It's the same thing with our finances. You know, folks will say they won't be prosperous. Folks will say they want this and that and they want out of debt and all this kind of thing. But at the same time, what are they doing with their money? Come on. Number one, you hold back the tithe. It ain't happening. Because you're taking what's God, you're using what's God. And I promise you, in the Old Testament, God said, even if it's a donkey, an unclean animal, you either redeem it, give the money for it, something, the value of it, or if you don't have anything like that, then just break its neck. Just break its neck, because if for you to use what's mine, it's going to bring a curse on you. Come on. Oh, no, I don't. Now, I just don't believe it. Well, he told them in Malachi, he told the children of Israel, he said, you've been cursed with a curse because you've not brought my tithe in. Yeah. And he said, if you bring the tithe in, I'll pour you out a blessing that won't be room enough to receive it. Yeah. You see, so when we talk about this in the natural, we understand that's one aspect, but also, you know, the wasteful stuff we do. We all guilty now. We I like my toys better than anybody. Okay. Is it all right if I just preach on me? Probably the reason I ain't got money is because of my toys. Now, that don't mean I'm not going to have money, because I'm learning better and more all the time. It's still, but Pastor, I figured she'd just jump up and start shouting hallelujah, amen, maybe run loud. You know. And I think all of us can be there. God likes us to have good things. But He also wants us to be wise with our finances. Right? I ain't even going to ask for a show of hands of how many of us live on a budget. Don't even let that. Yeah. Thank God for everybody that does. You know. But you see, that's how you keep up with how much you waste. Amen. You know, you can go down your bank account. I mean, I'll have to say, I talk about food and health, and from that point, I'll have to say most of our money goes to food these days. You know, we'll go to Walmart, spend $300 on groceries, and then go out and eat. I know none of you all guilty of that at all. Let's just get us something to eat while we're out. You know. Yeah, you go to Smoking J's, you'll pay $60, $70 for one meal. You know, that's a quarter of your grocery bill. But, you know, that's one of those things that we do. We kind of treat ourselves. And you know, but I'm just saying all this to say this. If we truly want to be free, then we think about these things. And, I mean, you know, if it's in your budget and you can afford it and it's not, it's okay. God wants you to have some good stuff. He wants you to enjoy this life. And, you know, I'm just one of those that think that eating is one of the few pleasures in life. I love it. Amen. Now, you know, here's the thing, you know. We really should eat to live, not live to eat. Right? All my life, pretty well, I've just lived to eat. I just, you know, I mean, I'll never, Brother D will remember this. You know, we used to go and we'd be working something. We'd have Brother Jerry with us. And Jerry Gullett at that time was probably 400 pounds, I guess, or so, you know. And while we'd be eating one meal, he'd be asking what we was going to have for the next one. And he wouldn't care for me telling off of that, you know. But he just loved to eat. And I do too. You know, and unfortunately, I really like sweets. You know, yeah, I know y'all probably don't. But that's okay if you don't. Great. Now, my wife, she's not a big sweet person, but she likes vegetables and that kind of stuff. And you know, she'll have an extra helping of vegetables, and I go, really? You know, not if there's a cake around somewhere. Okay, but see, if we're going, when we're getting free. And we're talking about having His divine nature and walking His divine nature. When we talk about healing, then what I'm trying to really say through all this junk here is this, is that we need to do our part too. Come on. How many of us actually exercise? Good. Good for y'all that do. But did you just notice there? Two of you, you know. Right? Come on. Now, if I say on a regular basis, can both of you put your hands still back up? Okay. All right. And that's a good thing. Praise God. You know, we should. That's part of keeping this body healthy. Okay. You know. And then I could say, how many of you have got an established plan for how much money you save out of each check when it comes to your finances? See, few people do. And that's smart. See, that's how you save money. Most of us try to get our bills paid and see how much money we got left to go out and eat and whatever else we're going to do. But I'm just trying to help us to look and see how that the knowledge of the Word of God will help us to get free from some of this and even help us to correct some things and help us to see. But the world doesn't understand it. And when we talk about divine health and all these things, and they have a hard time seeing it because we don't necessarily walk in it the way we should be walking in it. For those of us that do believe it, right? You know, when we're looking at these things, worldly thinking keeps us in bondage. We still have to, even though maybe we're not crossing every T and dotting every I, we still have to be thinking in the divine nature way. We still have to be looking at ourselves. I'm going to call myself healed no matter what I feel, because the Word says I'm healed. I'm going to call myself prosperous no matter how much money I've got. Amen. Amen. Why? Because the Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things. Right? So a wish is His will. Right? This is what I wish. This is what I will for you above all things, is that thou mayest what? Prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You see, and folks fight against that, and they say, I can't get it. Jesus dealt with that in the Word of God. Remember when He's in the house and He's preaching, and the Bible says the Spirit of God was present to heal? He's there and he's preaching, and that the room is full. Here comes some guys carrying a man on a cot. They can't get in the house because there's a whole bunch of people, unbelievers, in there. Come on. A bunch of religious folks that don't believe a thing he's saying. The only reason they're there is just try to catch him up in something. They're not interested in healing, even though the presence of the Lord is there to heal. I mean, they could have been having a healing service, but instead, they've got an unbelief service going on. Jesus is teaching. He's preaching in the house. They can't get inside. The friends take him up on, tear the roof off, stick him down through the roof. Think about that one for a minute. That's some good friends to have around, I'll tell you that. And the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man on the cot, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And all of a sudden, the religious devils just blowed up. All over the house. No. And the Bible says that Jesus knew their thoughts. See, that's the thing about Jesus. He always knows what we're thinking, so you can't trick him. He knows exactly where we're at. He looked at them and he said, "Well, which is easier? To say your sins be forgiven you, or to say take up your bed and walk? But so that you know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins, take up your bed and walk." And the man took up his bed and he walked. He was healed right then. Now, the reason I say that is because this: Jesus did not differentiate between sins being forgiven and healing, because he was Lord of both. Did you hear me? And he's the same way with prosperity and blessing. See, folks, worldly thinking is, now, you know, we just poor old folk. And I'll just tell you something. You fellows up there, you may believe in the tithe, but some of us have to pay our bills. That's religious thinking, you see, because I have scripture that says Jesus was standing over by the customs receipt there, the place where they paid their tithes and gave their money, and he's sitting there watching, observing. Now, let me just stop right there for just a second. Most folks, probably even you guys, would absolutely blow your stack if I just walked around with the ushers as they're passing the plate and watched how much you gave. Come on now, you can say amen to that. I understand that. We all have our privacy, you know, that kind of thing, you know. But he's sitting there watching them give. And he watches the rich folk give, and he's watching everybody gives, and then he sees this little woman come up. And she just puts in a little. But it's all she's got. Now, here's the thing, once again. Oh, you feel, you ought to take that money and give it to the poor, give it to somebody who needs it. The tithe belongs to the Lord. All you would do if you take your tithe and give it to somebody else is put them under a curse, and yourself too. You won't be a blessing to them. He watches her put in all she's got, and it moves him to the point that now he's going to comment. And he tells those that are around him, he said, "These others, they've given out of their surplus. They've given because they've got plenty." I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, okay? But he said, this little woman, she's given out of her need. You see, what he meant by that was, she knows she don't have enough to take care of what she needs with what she has. So she's going to give it to God and entrust God to take care of her. Man, I thank God for the day that I learned that God would take care of me once I gave Him what belonged to Him. Don't you? I love the fact that I know that in my heart, that as long as I'm giving God what belongs to Him, He's always going to take care of me. See, that's part of the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord maketh what? Rich. And He addeth no sorrow to it. The blessing of the Lord. It's on that. You see, but see, that you got to get free from the way the world thinks, because the world thinks you better be putting her back if you want to have it. And God says, you better be given if you want to have it. Right? Give, and it shall be given to you. What? Pressed down, shaken together, running over. I'll have men given to your bosom. And then he goes on and says this. We don't ever quote it here, hardly. But he says, with what measure you meet, it'll be met back unto you. In other words, if you give a little, your running over won't be near as if you give a big. Isn't that what he's saying? However you measure this thing out, however it is in your heart. That's why the Bible says, when you give cheerfully, not grudgingly. Because when you give grudgingly, ain't no use you even giving. Come on now. Somebody, I was talking with a guy from another church the other day, and he was talking about one preacher at one point there, you know, at a different time than now. But he told his congregation, you know, and it's a congregation that they don't tithe. But he told his congregation, he said, hey, whether you guys realize it or not, when we don't have church, the bills still come. The tithe takes care of the house of God and things that need to be done in the house of God. That's why it belongs to God. Amen. Bills have to be paid either way. Right? And you say, well, you shouldn't even be talking about that in church. Well, you wouldn't have a church to be if I didn't talk about it because I'm the pastor. I'm the one responsible for making sure they get paid. But you're the ones responsible for making sure you bring what belongs to the Lord in so they can get paid. There ain't many churches that has over $1,000 light bill. Electric bill. See, some of you looked at me funny. When you have a church of this magnitude and this building this size and facilities this big, just think about what things cost at your house and multiply it by probably 5 or 6, 7 times. Maybe 10 times in some of it. It's cold outside. It's zero. You got 7 5-ton units in this room. You got 2, 1 on each side. No, you got 5 7-tons in here. Or 5 5-tons in here, 2 5-tons on each side. You've got the family center that's got 3 different, 2 big units and the smaller unit. All them things are running on gas. So when it gets cold, guess what? Not only are you still paying the big electric bill, but now all of a sudden here comes the gas. You all know about it. It happens in your house, but it happens in God's house too. And so we have knowledge and we learn. God wants us blessed. God wants us to prosper. And here's why God wants us blessed. So that we can give Him His part and then we can enjoy our part freely. That's what He wants. See, and you get free and you learn these things from the Word of God. And so we have to understand that we're free in the Lord Jesus Christ. But our duty now that we've been set free is that we follow the Word of God and do the Word of God so that God can bring what He wants to bring us, all those things that He's freely given to us. Right? That comes from us believing God through the Word of God and doing what the Word of God says and keeping ourselves walking in that divine nature. And the way we walk in that divine nature is through faith in the Word of God. God's Word is God's will. And so we learn how to walk by faith from the Word of God and do the things that God says. You know, and people, I know when we talk about finances and we talk about those things, people get frustrated. But to understand God's system has always been for His people to take care of, whether it was the tabernacle, whether it was the temple. Come on. I mean, even when Aaron was going to make a false god, what'd he say? Go bring all your golden earrings and your jewelry and stuff. If you want a golden, if you want a false god, you're going to have to bring the stuff to fix it. Isn't that right? See, and so when we see those things, we have examples in the Word of God that God has always taken care of His house. See, matter of fact, He reprimanded, in the Word of God, He reprimanded them. He said, you're laying back in your sealed houses, taking it easy while my house goes in waste. This house is important to God. You're important to God. And He wants to bless you and your house so you can be a blessing in this house. And when we get that knowledge from the Word of God, you see, because people kind of get that backwards and think, well, you know, God don't want your money. I mean, you know, we're the ones on earth doing business for God now. We're the one taking care of God's stuff down here now. We are the ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ down here. So He's expecting us to do what we're supposed to do, walk in the divine nature of God, and do the things that the Lord Jesus would do. What did Jesus say? He said, you render the things unto Caesar that are Caesar's, but render the things unto God that are God's. And that's what we're supposed to do. So we look at these things and we understand that God can do them. But we've got to get past the can and get over into the fact that we know that He will and that He wants to. Whether it's divine, I got off a little bit on that, but we have to know that, because that's what God wants us to know. He wants us to understand that there is nothing impossible with God. This everything you see here is because God wanted it to be here, and we were willing to do what He said. Whatever He told us to do, that's what we were going to do. I'm going to say this, and this doesn't pertain to the message, but I'm going to say this, okay? I've lived until I got in the Word of God. We lived our lives basically check to check. Okay? I mean, what we made, we spent. No savings. Actually, not, I don't even remember if we had any life insurance or anything. We just based it to minimal. She had some policies that she had brought over from her mommy, had them when she was a baby, because we didn't know any better. Okay? And the reason I'm telling you that is just so you understand this. And so we got married when we were 18, straight out of high school. How many knows 18-year-olds ain't got no money? Okay, well, I'll take that back. 18-year-olds that don't have rich daddies and mommies don't have no money. And we didn't have no money because my daddy always just worked and they lived check to check. And she didn't have a father growing up. She had a single mother that cooked at school or worked at the school trying to raise three girls, you know. They lived in a house that, this would do it, wouldn't it, Pastor Ed, from here to there? They lived in a house that was from here to there. It was a two-story warm house that their grandpa built that when I walked in, I had to dunk, right? I mean, maybe why she's short. You know, they say a goldfish won't outgrow its bowl, right? I mean, she didn't have to worry about bumping her head. But when I went, I had to walk around like this downstairs. And when you went up the stairs, you had to dunk to get up. Now, the upstairs, best I remember, it was tall enough still. And you could, but I'm just showing you where we come from, okay? That's where she come. I came from, you know, what I'm trying to show you is this, is that we didn't have any money growing up. And we truthfully, 18 years old, we're still growing up. We know this now, right? Back then we didn't know. We thought we were the smartest people in the world. You know, I've learned now that you're way up there now before you ever really know it. But anyway, we hadn't really dealt with money much, okay? Having money, dealing with money. You know, a lot of folks maybe had plenty of money. So, you know. And then here God drops all this on us, that He wants us to do this. Now, I believe with all my heart, God gave us a little training when we were over in Johnson County, when we helped build that church over there, because the first note that we signed, the first big note that we ever signed on was for that church. But you see, I was starting to learn that God wanted us blessed, and what you did for God, God would bless you. To the point that, again, we didn't have money, so I went and got a sound system for that church. Not an elaborate one, but so we'd have sound and board and all that. And I had to get it on credit and make payments myself. But you know, I believed in God that much because I'd been in the world long enough. I was tired of that. I'm going to do everything I can for God. But then God drops this on us. And all of a sudden we're in a little building and we're going to build a church. And when we get the numbers, It's $330,000 at that time, way back there in 1999. $330,000. You kidding me? I don't know if I'd made $330,000 in my life by that time. And here was the thing. You had to sign the paper personally. I had to sign it. Thank God, Brother D's still here. Brother D signed that paper. Now, I have to say that D had been around a while longer and he had had better jobs than I have, so I'm going to say that they looked at my what I'd had, my credit, and probably went, but then they saw D and they said, well, he's got this and this and this, so maybe, you know. But I don't know that. But there was like four of us that had to sign that personally. Personally. But you see, when you believe that you have a call on your life and that it is the will of God for you to do something, you don't care to put yourself out there for God. You see, we have to walk by faith. I'm going to tell you something. I was walking by faith. We came up here and walked around on this property by faith. It was owned by one of the richest men probably in Sagersville at the time, you know. And I didn't think there was any way in the world we could get this property, but he sold it to us. And then we were able to build this church on it. And all the miracles that God did through that, the bank even giving us the money and taking care of that. What I'm trying to say is God, if you'll trust Him, can take you farther than you ever thought He could. I look around now and I shake my head and I just go, wow. Look what God did. From the whatever, what did we give for the trees? $200 and some a piece. Anybody remember that bought the trees? Something like that. People bought trees out here. And they believe God. And now you drive through it. Now people stop on the sides of the road in the fall and in the spring. And they take pictures. And it's not because anything that we did is because we believed God. And people believed God. And we've seen these things come to pass. Do you know in 7 years we're done? This thing's played off. You know this thing appraises for like almost $3 million? Think about that. You talk about God doing things. We're not talking about a building sitting in the middle of Lexington now. We're talking about a building sitting in Magoffin County in eastern Kentucky where people say, God can't do that. I got news for you. God can do anything He wants to if He can just find some people that'll say, you know what? If God said it, I believe it. And I'm going to do what He said because He's given me His Spirit and given me His divine nature. So I'm going to walk in those promises and I'm going to receive from God everything He says I can have. And that includes my salvation, my healing, my prosperity, and my well-being and long life. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. That's what God wants us walking in. He wants us walking in His promises. He wants us to believe Him. Why? Because every time God does something for us, He gets glorified. Now, it makes the devil mad. But God gets glorified. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Church, we cannot allow the world to make us think like the world. Let's keep thinking like God and let's see where all God wants to take us. I think He's just getting started. And I think it's a new season, a new era, a new day for us to move forward and let God right, I'm telling you, once again, raise us above COVID, raise us above all that junk, and once again, be everything He wants us to be. Everybody ready for that?
Yeah.
You ought to get ready. It starts with us, right? Praise God. Come on, stand to your feet with me. Thank you, Father. We bless you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we realize and know